This is Winning at Life. Live Financial News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome to the show. Hey, I bet it's cold outside where you are, which is most everywhere. Well, hopefully we'll warm you up some talking about money. You know, are you accumulating it? Are you winning it? Are you getting ahead? 504-260-0995. That's a number to call. Call and see if we can help. Let's start a conversation. You can utilize the Winning at Life app. You can text, email, call us through the app. Lots more there. You ought to, you know, it ought to be one of your apps on that smartphone. 504-260-0995.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. A lot happening in the financial world today. We'll get you caught up on as much of it as possible. We're going to review Jamie Dimon. He is the CEO of JP Morgan Chase. And if you're not familiar with this guy, he is a titan in the business world, because if you look back just 12 years ago at the heads of the major banks in America, you know, there's only a handful of them, about six or seven, that are really considered that top tier banking industry. After the financial crisis, a lot of those guys fell by the wayside. Right now, where we're sitting, Jamie Dimon is the only CEO left standing from pre-financial crisis.
Yeah, I think that's pretty significant.
I also have quite a bit of audio here from your president. He was at the Economic Club of New York, which sounds like a cool group of guys there. But I really love this speech because he spoke for an hour, and he must have been on a timer because they cut it off like right at 59 minutes. He's like, all right, that's it. And it was just sort of an abrupt cut, and he just started taking questions. But it was almost all financial, Gregory.
He could go for hours, though. Think about it.
He could.
So it was all financial.
Almost all financial. Of course, he had to delve into politics and take some shots at people. And while that's sort of amusing, it doesn't fit the tenor of this show very well. But I've got some great audio clips that kind of give you an idea of not really where he's at in his head, but where he wants you to think he's at. You know, I feel like he's sort of playing, I don't want to say like the Federal Reserve game, but he knows he's in campaign mode. And so he's speaking accordingly. But in part of the discussion, his national economic director, Larry Kudlow, has been having, Tax Cuts 2.0 had a little more detail spilled out today. And there's Washington Post reported today, multiple people involved in the internal discussions at the White House say the target that they're doing for the middle class is a 15% rate cut. That's all we have. That's the rumor.
That'll help.
Yeah. That's it. I'm just getting you caught up on the rumors.
It's going to increase the deficit.
Perhaps.
We're already spending trillion more than we take in this year. Perhaps.
Something else.
Well, let's see. We haven't given enough for all these workers to be kicking in and all. It's a cycle. So we'll see what next year brings.
Yeah. Something else that we keep track of on the show, continuing subplot. We're big fans of the space exploration, the private sector, especially the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket lifted off from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida yesterday morning. And it was one of those that had 60 Starlink satellites on board. I believe these are those bread box ones, the Elon Musk bread box satellites. 60 more are going up. This is the fourth launch for the Falcon 9. This is the first time SpaceX reused the tip of the rocket, known as the fairing. I'm not really familiar with that term, but I'll try and keep track of it for you in future launches. And this is the continuing the storyline. They had first launch of some of these Starlink satellites back in May. I remember there was supposed to be a few months before that. That was the one that blew up on the launch pad. Remember how, that was sort of a disappointment not too long ago. But this program's continuing. If you're not familiar with the storyline we've been doing on the show, this is sort of a constellation, I guess would be the best word, of these really low orbit satellites. And they're not that big, but we've gotten so much better with the technology. They're pretty powerful, and they're going to be low enough that the thought process is we might have just universal Wi-Fi with these satellites, much like you do with the wireless routers in your house. So everything's going to be wireless. Internet will be everywhere. It's a new technology, and I'm pretty excited to see if this is going to work. What do you think, Gregory? Because you saw the write-up, or was that a 60 Minutes piece on the bread boxes last year?
Yeah, that was 60 Minutes. That was pretty unbelievable.
So this is pretty cool. These little guys have their onboard ion thrusters to keep them in their intended orbits, or if they have to be changed, or if they have to be rearranged, or if one goes out and they need to re-grid who's left up there. Ion, was that we're doing? Ion rockets? That sounds like Star Trek, Gregory. Isn't that what they had, ion thrusters in Star Trek?
Well, I'm looking forward to the hyper drives.
Yeah, and I think it says they're powered by dilithium crystals, and I made that part up. But that was all a report from Fox Business. I was referencing the details there. Pretty exciting stuff, Gregory. If this stuff gets online and it works, whole new world.
Well, you know, remember, they recently, the Navy acknowledged we have unidentified flying aircraft within our atmosphere. If we could figure out how they're getting around, because they go really fast, stop on a dime, change direction, and show up minutes later halfway across the continent. So that's what we need to figure out, is what are they using?
They've got the really nice ion thrusters, maybe.
Yeah, they do.
So, what a fun day in the financial world, especially as far as the news goes. Let's take a fork in the road here. You want to jump into the numbers, or you want to jump into the audio from Trump or Jamie Dimon?
Trump.
Let's do Trump. Good. Okay, so I really love this one. It was almost an hour of him just talking about finances. He's got to give himself a little bit of love. Totally expected. He's within a year of a presidential election, but he's talking about his economic boom. But he couples this with a dig at the Fed.
And we have launched an economic boom, the likes of which we have never seen before. I did this despite a near record number of rate increases and quantitative tightening by the Federal Reserve since I won the election. 8 increases in total, which were, in my opinion, far too fast an increase and far too slow a decrease.
Yeah, it's President Trump, New York Economic Club.
I think there was too much tightening. I agree with him on that. There was too much tightening because they were unwinding the balance sheet at the same time. And look, we have proof they over-tightened. How many cuts have we had this year?
3, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And they stopped unwinding of the balance sheet. So yeah.
Who could argue against that? If you didn't over-tighten, then why'd you loosen it back up?
Yep.
Exactly. All right. So, this is where I completely agree with the president. One of the most powerful things, probably the most powerful thing he's done to help this economy, isn't the tax cuts. It's the deregulation.
My order required that for every one new regulation, 2 old regulations must be eliminated. But instead of 2 for 1, we have now eliminated 9 for 1, and we think that within the next 6 months, it will be close to 20 for one instead of 2 for 1.
Now that's music to my ears.
Yeah, and can you really measure the significance of that? But it is just, it seems like all we get is regulation and rules put onto everything, and nobody relooks at, you know what, that's outdated. We shouldn't be doing that. That complicates, that slows down projects, that stops jobs.
Think of not just the job you're at now, but previous jobs you've been at. Even if you work at a restaurant or a bar, how much time and effort and resources go to complying with regulations?
A lot.
Yeah, and then when they do the calculations on how much people spend just to figure out what their taxes are every year, that's up in the billions and billions of dollars.
You know, our friend that has service station over in Lakeview.
Yeah.
You know, we do business there. They have the gasoline that doesn't have...
It's the non-ethanol gasoline. Non-ethanol. Yes.
So I filled up there today, and he came out, the guy running the place, came out and talked to me there, and... You know, and he had a couple of Jeeps being serviced there. And I said, "What do y'all do, lifts?" He said, "Oh, no, I can't do that. I'd have to really grow the business, and that had to become a focus because I'd have to recover the expense on the insurance
that it would require." Man. See,
you know, it's kind of like either regulations or insurance. There's more rules that. Gosh, I need a whole different kind of insurance to do that. That's just an example of what business faces to go do. So he can't touch anything like that.
All right. I got one more positive soundbite. We're going to end on one that's a little questionable after this one. But look, give the man credit. There has been some nice stock gains in the indexes since his election.
Since my election, the S&P 500 is up over 45%. The Dow Jones is up over 50%. And the NASDAQ is up 60%, slightly more.
All right, nobody can argue with that.
No, no. And look where we are with jobs, the economy. It just tax breaks.
Well, and the
people are going to work.
The expected retort when a lot of presidents say some of this is, well, can you really give him credit for the stock market going up? And for this guy, yeah, I think he does get a lot of it.
Who else would you give it to? If it had went down 45%, who would get the credit for that?
Oh, yeah. I totally agree.
So who else are you giving the credit for? Now, look, he necessarily didn't cause it all, but I'll tell you what, he impacted it for sure. You still had to get it. Companies got earnings and grow their business and stuff, but all that, he creates an environment for that to happen. So he darn sure had something to do with it.
All right. Now we're going to end on a soundbite I'm not so sure about, and you'll hear the tepid response. They're not so sure about it either.
We are actively competing with nations who openly cut interest rates so that now many are actually getting paid when they pay off their loan, known as negative interest. Who ever heard of such a thing? Give me some of that. Give me some of that money. I want some of that money. Our Federal Reserve doesn't let us do it.
Now the crowd is like, okay, is he still kidding?
I'm not real sure.
The smart people are clapping. The smart people are clapping. Well, I don't know about negative interest rates, Gregory.
I don't either. We don't want to go there.
Turn on Fox News and then CNN, but it's the same dang thing all over again. The world's in
this is Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. You know, Mosquito Joe, well, actually, one of the techs, the Joker, was out at my house the other day. Making sure those mosquitoes aren't coming around.
Is that his nickname?
Wait, I'm not going to give his whole name, but that was the beginning of it. Joker Joel.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's out there continuing. I do it year round because I just don't want anything to do with those mosquitoes. And I think you should use Mosquito Joe because mosquitoes suck.
Beautiful.
So and that's what they do. And that's the bad thing about it. So if you're interested in getting rid of those, and I tell you what, I just don't see bugs of any kind around. It's neworleans.mosquitojoe.com. There you go.
Because mosquitoes suck.
Yeah, because mosquitoes suck. Now, you were talking about the space shuttle earlier, and one thing that got my attention was here a few weeks ago, a secret space plane landed after a record stay in orbit. And it sure looks, you saw pictures of it, and you can see the picture here. It sure looks like a smaller version of the space shuttle. I don't know what's powering it, but you want to know how long it was afloat? 780 continuous days in orbit, and they were conducting classified experiments for the U.S. Air Force.
For almost 2 years, Gregory?
And then it landed itself. So, I would so want to see those record books of what the heck they were up to for 2 years. Dude. What? I didn't know we had stuff. It's just, you know, flying around up there for a couple years. Okay, let's come on, service it. And they're probably not going to tell us when it goes back up, but it showed up on the ground, so probably got some attention.
2 years? Why would it need to be up there 2 years?
Yeah, it landed at NASA's Kennedy Space Center.
What could take that long?
Yeah, it was an unusual visitor early Sunday morning when the Air Force secretive X-73B space plane autonomously returned from orbit. Just, you know, crazy stuff. Maybe that's part of Trump's Space Force.
Oh, yeah, because that I'm sure that was in the works long before he got in there.
Could well be. Okay, if you'd like to join the conversation, we are talking about money tonight like we do every night. We do this every night at 7. Saturdays, we have the weekly wrap from 10 to 1. 504-260-0995. Let's have a conversation. So, Jamie Dimon, interesting conversation on 60 Minutes Sunday evening.
Yeah, and it seems weird because 60 Minutes was criticizing this guy who has been, politically speaking, on their team, for lack of a better term, for basically the entire time he's ever been on my radar. But they weren't treating him like that, Gregory. They were treating him like he's an outsider. Anyway, so they start off rightfully so, asking him to answer some direct criticism that was, it was directed at him by name from a presidential candidate.
So Elizabeth Warren said in Iowa the other day, our democracy has been hijacked by the rich and powerful. And you jumped in and said this week about her that she was vilifying successful people and having harsh words for Wall Street bankers.
What I was commenting on is that anything that vilifies people, I just don't like. I think that, you know, most people are good, not all of them. I think you should vilify Nazis, but you shouldn't vilify people who worked hard to accomplish things. And so my comment is, I think it's American society. We're just attacking each other all the time.
I like that. I think he's right.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
The fact that you would call any entire group of people evil based on something other than an idea, ideology. Like, he's right. If you're a Nazi, then yeah, you're a bad person. But if you're a billionaire, you might have got it the right way. I mean, you might be evil. We don't know.
It's unlikely they're evil, but it's, yes, it's just everybody kind of gets grouped, and then a group of people say, yeah, they're evil.
It feels like they're being intellectually lazy. They're looking for a shortcut. The answer to their problems is a lot more complicated than just, these other people over here are evil and they put this on you. But boy, that's an easy path to accept rather than looking inward and saying, well, maybe I've made some bad decisions in my life.
No, it's not me. It's him.
It's an escape hatch is what it feels like sometimes. He was called out again by name, the criticism here from a presidential candidate. And kudos to 60 Minutes for at least giving him the platform to defend himself. And I think he did it pretty well.
She said the system is working great for the wealthy and well-connected. And Jamie Dimon, she brings you up, doesn't want that to change.
I'm not going to comment on anyone in particular.
But she's commenting on you. You've become a target. Whether you want to respond to it or not, you're her target and you're Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's target.
I understand that a person in this seat is going to be a target in this day and age of certain politicians and stuff like that. But the notion that I'm not a patriot or that some of these other folks aren't, that's just dead wrong.
Is it possible to be a patriot and a billionaire at the same time, Gregory?
Absolutely.
I know. I don't.
And, you know, and what he's leading his company to give back and do. And during the Great Recession at the beginning of it, he shelled out, what, $1.2 billion for a dumpster fire just to help keep things together because the government asked him to do so. Wasn't like, yeah, buy this on the cheap. Your company's just going to kill it. No,
the taxpayers didn't bail out Bear Stearns. Jamie Dimon bailed out Bear Stearns.
I just don't know if he did it because they asked him to. He wasn't interested in buying that company at all because it was a dumpster fire.
Okay, so now we're starting to develop a pattern here. The first question was, hey, how do you think about this vilification of all billionaires? You know, are all billionaires necessarily evil was the first question. The second one was, system works for billionaires like Jamie Dimon but crushes little people. Is that really fair? Can you be a patriot and a billionaire at the same time?
Oh, my gosh.
So we're starting to develop a negative pattern here.
Now, we're in trouble if we don't have billionaires.
No kidding.
I'm serious. I'll never be one. But I think we're in trouble if we don't have those guys to spend money, to invest, take risk, and they all don't get to keep it.
How would we have an Uber right now without someone to sit there and fund the loss that they take on all these rides right now?
Somebody's funding that because they lose money on every ride.
And if they squish it here, then all the Ubers and Lyfts and innovations are going to be happening in some other country.
What's that other one? Grubhub? Delivering your food? Lose money on every delivery.
Okay, so now she takes her scope off of Jamie Dimon and puts it on the economy at large. I mean, this is a snowball of negativity here.
Did you have the part where she questioned him about his pay, or is that like...
Oh, I got the whole thing, but that's later.
Okay.
The stock market is going through the roof, and yet manufacturing production is down over the past year. Wage growth is slowing. So when you look at the state of the economy right now, what do you see? Do you see strength? Do you see petering out?
The consumer, which is 70% of the U.S. economy, is quite strong. Confidence is very high. Their balance sheet's in great shape. And you see that the strength of the American consumer is driving an American economy and a global economy. And while business slowed down, my current view is that, no, it just was a slowdown, not a petering out.
I... totally agree with him. Look, things are cyclic. Everything doesn't keep going up every year. Car sales doesn't grow month over month, quarter over quarter, year over year. It goes from manufacturing's going to have lulls and pick back up. You know, everything cycles.
She did not like his answer.
She did not.
She is destined to find something that he will say negative about the economy because they want to make it the headline. Even Jamie Dimon says recession's right around the corner or something like that. So she's saying, all right, well, so the numbers are good, but the unpredictability and the chaos, I mean, isn't that a problem?
Well, what about the issue of unpredictability right now on the economy? Is that worrisome to you? It must be worrisome to every businessman in the country.
The world is unpredictable. I think it's a mistake.
Well, more unpredictable than usual.
No.
If you look at the usual.
Take a newspaper and open it any month of any year, you'd have the same list of hugely unpredictable things.
Why does it feel as if we were in a particularly uncertain time?
Human nature looks at fear and reacts to the short run. But again, there have been like 50 or 60 international crises since World War II. Almost only one really affected the global economy in the short run.
What was that? Vietnam?
Vietnam did not. Vietnam, obviously, it's totally changed America. But it was the oil crisis in the Middle East in 1973 when oil went from 2 to 20 and we had a global recession.
Let me skip ahead a little bit. He goes and lists some other calamities here.
None of those things affected the global economy. And the other thing is, people look at the negatives. There are positives. The Berlin Wall went up.
I skipped it.
There have been wars with India and Pakistan. We've had Iraq, Afghanistan, Korea, Vietnam. China had wars with Vietnam. China had wars with Russia.
Yeah, there was a list. All that, and we've recovered. And
it just keeps going. It's kind of part of the cycles.
She asked if he would... Aren't you worried about the trade war? Aren't you worried about China? I mean, this could be like the prelude to an actual war. He was unfazed by that. A big number here. I had no idea how much money they did over at JP Morgan Chase.
We move $6 trillion of money every day.
They're on one of their trading floors, and he just that's a line where I just had to back it up. Rewind.
One of many trading floors. There's more going on in their buildings than actually on Wall Street.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Here's Leslie Stahl asking him about his executive pay. Boy, this was just such a negative interview, Greg. I can't get over
executive this. Pay. Last year you were paid $31 million. Too high?
The board sets mine. I have nothing to do with it.
Well, you could return some of it.
I could. Is that going to solve any of those problems?
I don't know.
Is it going to solve
any of those
problems?
It's not going to solve
anything. You could set an example, say, I'm not going to take all that money. Okay. I don't need it.
I could. I'm going to leave it to the board to set my comp, not you, not the press.
You've answered
my board,
every one of my questions,
my
but this one you're fobbing off.
Yeah, the board has to do it.
Well, let me ask it in a general way. Should executive pay in this country be curbed?
And he kind of dodges
here. What does that mean?
Yeah, so then there's a discussion that doesn't really go anywhere. But let me ask you, Gregory, should executive pay in this country be curbed?
Well, let me point out, Leslie Stahl, I believe, makes just under $2 million a year.
What?
And she's somewhere worth about $20 million.
What?
So maybe she should give some back, too. Now, I think, based on what we know about J.P. Morgan Chase, size of the company, they handle $6 trillion. They move that much money. Did I get it right, or was I small? $6 trillion a day?
$6 trillion of money every day.
And he's paid $31 million. I think there's baseball pitchers that make more than him that only work like one, maybe 2 days a week, depending on the rotation. How about Will Smith? In 2019, his earnings shows to be $35 million. You heard of Adam Sandler? Adam Sandler, $57 million.
Oh, I think he's underpaid.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, $89.4 million.
He earned every penny.
Now, Jamie Dimon's not an actor, so I get that. But look at the company he runs. I think he's a bargain. And if he wasn't dedicated, he would be hired away. He's not leaving JP Morgan Chase ever. He'll be through working when he's done there. And he is underpaid. So going back to, and I've got another take on the billionaire, all the evil billionaires. And like I said, I think we'd be in serious trouble if we don't have those and have success and creating companies that create jobs. And think of this, if you go and take all their wealth away, tax it enough, and then at some point, okay, there's no more billionaires to tax. We took all their money. Well, how are you making up that revenue once you got rid of those evil guys? How are you making that up? Now, let's go back to the turn of the century. You can help me with this, James. You know some of those. We've got the Rockefellers, the Edisons, the Wrigleys, name some Gettys.
Carnegie, Vanderbilts.
Yeah, billionaires.
J.P. Morgan.
Yes. I know one of the Vanderbilts remaining died, and she only left her son, what, a couple million dollars.
Are you talking about Anderson Cooper?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You had a look in your eye.
Yeah, and y'all have heard of him. May not like, oh, his mom was a Vanderbilt. Yeah, he's a Vanderbilt.
He's a Vanderbilt, okay. Sure.
Just hid the name. But when you think about all these billionaires, and they were probably saying, you know what, we've got the Great Depression, we got these billionaire, you know, we got, you know, the people starting up these car companies and stuff like that. And tell me, where is all that money? The Vanderbilts still have billions, the Wrigleys, Carnegies, Getty, what? They're the super richest on the planet. That money's gone. It gets handed out to heirs. There's called this thing called the estate tax, and it's designed to tax a lot of money as it's being handed off down the family. And then when it's handed off down the family, what do they typically do with it? Spend it. They don't keep it. They spend it. So if you're worried, like, oh my gosh, these people are rich. Don't worry. They're giving it all out. A lot of it's going to Uncle Sam, and then it's going to other family that's going to spend it. It'll be gone, and then there'll be a new wave of them coming by. And I'm going to give you the example. Venezuela decided they didn't want wealthy people, so they their wealth away. That, you know, these private companies are making too much money. We're taking over the companies. So the companies said, you know what? We're getting out of here. So once you take all that away, what do you have left? Chaos, rampant inflation. Nobody has money. Nobody's investing there. Nobody wants to go there. Everybody wants to leave there. That's the reality of it. Their money is going to transfer over the next few generations. Don't worry. They're giving it away.
Yeah. When you put it like that, it kind of reminds me to tell people, all right, you want to take control of these giant corporations away from people like Jamie Dimon. What's the alternative? Because there's two alternatives. Either that corporation goes away and we don't have a JP Morgan Chase, and when I swipe my debit card, there's going to be someone else that has to take care of it. Or if you want to do the Venezuela model,
oh, it's going to be the government.
Yes.
The government can do a better job.
Okay, so there's still going to be a person with all the power and
somebody is controlling it.
Of JP Morgan, but they're going to be a politician or a bureaucrat now instead of a private sector guy.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be a government that's going to call the refs, balls and strikes.
The people's company is running it. Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't really work out too well. And look, and this country has a great history of people who have accumulated wealth in the millions and billions of dollars and done the right thing with it over and over and over, done amazing things with it. You know, the guy we're talking about now, Jamie Dimon, JP Morgan Chase CEO. JP Morgan paid off the national debt in the 1890s. It skyrocketed in the Civil War, and they had trouble paying it down. They had a couple of panics. And this guy just stepped in and was like, look, I think I'll help out my countrymen. Here's $60 million. Go ahead. And $60 million back then was real money.
You talked about the wealthy people helped keep this thing together during the Great Depression.
Absolutely.
As well. Their money was important. Good thing we had them. Once again, I don't have a problem with them, and I know they're going to spread the wealth. Sam Walton one time was like the richest guy in the world, wasn't he? He's pretty darn up there.
He's close, yeah.
And guess what? That money's been split amongst a lot of family, and they're old too now. And they're going to split it among a bunch of others, and it's going to get taxed as this happens, and it's going to get spent. It's just the way it works. Don't fret over them. And they can't, you can't take it with you. Jamie was getting paid $31 million. Well, in 2016, JP Morgan Chase paid $9.64 billion in income tax. They were the top taxpayer. If you look at Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase paid the most in tax.
$9 billion went back to the American people. Jamie Dimon got $31 million. Calm yourself
down.
Yeah,
that's what he should have said. You know, we pay like $9 billion a year in taxes, by the way. What got my attention today is the IEA, International Insurance Agency, basically said U.S. shale production will reshape global energy markets in the years to come, bolstering the country's influence over nations in the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. You know them as OPEC. So their outlook, they said U.S. production growth slows from the pace seen in recent years. Its forecast scenario for policies already announced mean that the country will account for 85% of the increase in global oil production to 2030. That right there tells us, yeah, our economy is going to keep moving forward. Higher U.S. output rising to 19 million barrels a day of production over the coming decade will push down the share of the global oil market held by OPEC members and Russia to 47% in 2030 from 55% in the mid-2000s, the agency said.
That's not a big number, but there's billions and billions of dollars in that slight little movement there.
To me, it's staggering. The U.S. also will account for 30% of the increase in natural gas production all the way to 2025, ensuring that the U.S. total shale and oil gas output will overtake that of Russia by then. And it goes on. It's just all good news for this country and its economy.
Well, how can they call themselves the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries if they're not including this petroleum exporting country? They're going to have to say this is an organization of some of the petroleum exporting countries, but not all of them, because we're now a net exporter. That's pretty cool. Haven't ever been able to say that in my entire life, but I'm glad I can say it now.
And, you know, so, well, the demand's going to increase. Well, they're talking about energy demand rises by expectation. In this scenario, they're using, say, energy demand increases by 1.3% a year to 2040.
All right. So I have a note for myself as we move over to the short sheet. I want to add the streaming services here. Now, we've already had Netflix on the short sheet for years, and we were geniuses to do so because it has been the greatest performing stock in the history of this show. It is one of these tales that they will write about in textbooks going forward. What is it up, like 8,000% in the last 10 years? So, and that's not a real number. I was just, that might not even be hyperbole. I was just coming up with a big number.
Hey, I love the podcast. I love news feeds. You ought to check out our blog if you want to see news feed of great financial information. If you would like to have a further conversation, we have a financial firm. Call us at 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com.
I'm James Parker, and we are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest, subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.